159, and we're talking about perfection. This chapter deals with perfection, and there are many different aspects to perfection. Human beings are multifaceted. What does that mean? We have different parts to us. We have a soul, we have a body, we have a personality, and we have social skills, we have musical skills. Who's the doctor in Harvard? He said there's eight different parts to us. Eight different parts to multi-talented, to our intelligences. We have musical intelligence. Some people do, some people don't. We have spatial intelligence, because you can design different things. So we're multifaceted. Human beings are multifaceted. And there are many different aspects to perfection. So according to Rambam, in Hilchot Deot, he advocates a healthy soul in a healthy body. That's really what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a healthy soul in a healthy body. So how do we define a healthy soul? And the answer is, the healthy soul includes a healthy personality. Because it's interesting that we don't really realize, but there's an interface between the body and the soul. How do the body and the soul communicate? And the answer is, the body and the soul communicate through the personality of a person. It's very, very fascinating. In other words, a person is a very good person and does a lot of kindness, attracts a different quality of the soul. A person is a very mean person and very rude person, attracts a different quality of the soul. So the interface between the body and the soul is a person's personality. And the Kabbalists say that at the end of time, when a person goes up, their clothes there will have different garments, and their garments will be their good deeds and their mitzvot that they did in this world. That's the garments they're going to have. But the main garment is going to be their personality. The main garment is going to be their personality. So the only thing we can take with us into the next world is really our personality. Who we are does not change. So a person was mean in this world, he'd be mean in the next world. Interesting. Very weird. And we won't be able to change it over there. We will not be able to change in the next world. We will not change. We have the ability to change only lasts in this world. In this dimension, we have the ability to change. A person has the ability to do teshuva. A person has the ability to perfect themselves right now. 180, 120 years we have allocated for that purpose. In his treatise on the perfect personality, Rambam says that when people are physically sick, their taste buds go. Whatever they taste, they can't taste properly. And they lose their sense of taste. And they may taste something sweet, which is really sour, and something which is sweet, well, they'll taste sour. And something which is sour, they'll taste sweet. The taste buds go. Person sick in hospital, you'll see the taste buds go. For such a person, it's very hard to know what is really truly sweet and what is truly sour. I know as you get older, your taste buds change as well. I can never drink tea black or coffee black, but now I can do it. You're young, you can't drink it. You need the sugar. But when you get older, your taste changes. Your taste buds change. So it's interesting to note that a person's changing all the time. We're changing all the time. Physically we're changing, but spiritually also we're changing. And the two are sometimes related. Similarly, he says, a person who has a sick soul will have a desire for evil deeds. Just like a person is sick, their taste buds go, and they taste sweet things as sour, and sour things as sweet. So too, when the soul is sick, they desire the wrong things. That's the sickness of the soul. So a person says, you know what, I desire to get drunk. I desire my cigarette. I desire my this. It's a sickness of the soul. It's a craving which comes from inside. It doesn't come from the body, it comes from the soul. It's a craving. And all the weird, all the lusts of this world, they all come from the soul, the desire from the soul. So it's a sickness of the soul. So it's an interesting way of perspective. The Rambam says these are all sicknesses of the soul. So they're sicknesses of the soul and the sicknesses of the body. And sometimes they're related. Sometimes a person is really sick soul-wise, will also be sick in the body. Sometimes it's vice versa. So how does a person rectify the sicknesses of the soul? So he says, number one, he says, is you have to go to a soul doctor. Who is a soul doctor? That's a question. Who is a soul doctor?
Rabbi.
That's right. Usually, some rabbis are, some rabbis aren't. It's a special, and I think there should be like a special degree for that. Be a soul doctor. Because you really have to understand the soul And a person has to realize where all these desires are coming from. They're coming from different parts of the soul. And there's a tikkun over here, and a tikkun over there. We're not really experts in this field. Arizal was the expert in the field. He could tell you exactly where is this desire coming from. It's coming from a previous life that you had, but we don't know. But the Rambam gives us general guidelines. And this is something which I want to share with you today, is the guidelines the Rambam gives us. And this is a major principle in personality traits. In other words, all these things, he says, all the desires are coming from the personality. And this is something that the book of Strive for Truth, Rav Dessler, also goes into great details, that all the sicknesses of a person comes from their personality. Everything comes from our personality. Because we said the personality is really the interface between the body and the soul. So if you can perfect your personality, you can perfect your strivings and your desires and everything else. So how does a person perfect their personality? So Rambam says a very, very general, I'm sure you've heard this before, it's called the golden mean. Finding the middle point between each trait. Every trait a person has as extremes. So for example, a person can be very, very generous, and a person can be very, very mean. So what should a person do? Try and find the medium. Try and find a medium. A person can be very angry, and a person can be very so happy that nothing can disturb them. Try and find a medium. That's the Rambam's general guideline is, perfect one's personality. A person perfects their personality, they'll perfect their desires, and they'll perfect their soul as well. And that's a very, very important point. So we have to try and perfect our personality. And part of the perfection of the personality is peace of mind. And that's really the hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to get, highest level to achieve. We talked about this last week, and we said children are the happiest. Why are children the happiest? They have no worries. Why don't they have any worries? They don't even think about it. They should have worries. They have nothing to think about. They worry about tomorrow. They worry about today. They worry about having a good time today. What are we going to do? That's my worry. My worry is, what are we doing today, Mom? What are we going to have for lunch today, Mom? That's all they think about is today. They don't think about tomorrow. There's no worries about tomorrow. It's all today, today, today. Where are we going to go? You go to school, and then the teacher walks in. What are we going to learn today? Are we going to see a movie? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? That's all they care about right now. They hear it now. They don't worry about tomorrow. So that's a very high level, by the way. That's a very, very high level. Is a person's got to live in the here and now. So the past is past, and the future is the future. But right now, we're living. Every second we value now, that's life. Life is what we do with the time right now. That's life. That's how a person should live their life. Every second at a time, what am I doing? Purpose. What is my purpose in this second? How am I using the second? How many seconds do I waste in the day? That's my life. The seconds of the day are my life. People don't realize that. Time is life. How we spend our time is how we spend our life. So a person wastes time, they just wasted their life. Life is there to be used. Every second is life. They don't really realize. Hashem gives us a present. This is your life. What do you mean this is my life? You have, I don't know how many seconds you have. This is the seconds in your life. Now you can use the seconds any way you want. So one thing which I find very comforting is that 1/7 of our lives is Shabbat. 1/7 of our lives. So a person lives 70 years. Hashem says, what do you do with your life? Well, 10 years was Shabbat. Isn't that great? 10 years of my life was Shabbat. Oh, Hashem says, wow, I'm proud of you. 10 years of your Shabbat, that's a big chunk. 10 years is a big chunk of your life, Shabbat. That's one thing good. Person says, I pray 1 hour a day. It's 1 hour, that's a big chunk of your life. That's 1 out of 24. Right? The Midrash, there's a fascinating Midrash. The Midrash says that how much time does a person really have in this world? So it really takes off a lot of time. So a third of the time, we're sleeping. That's right, a third of one's life is spent sleeping, which is a total waste of time if you think about it, but you can't do anything about it. Right? My father used to tell me, his father passed away very young, so he must have remembered this when he was a child. He remembers his father telling him, son, he says, one day there'll be a long time to sleep. There's plenty of time to sleep. You don't have to sleep so much now, because one day there'll be a long time to sleep. So what he's saying is really, life is the essence. A person's alive, a person's going to use that life to the best of their abilities to use as positive as possible. And wasting time is really killing oneself. Because killing themselves, they don't realize. A lot of people just kill themselves. I mean, suicide. Why? Because time is life, and I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my life. So a person's got to have a goal in life, purpose in life, and use every second as possible. And we have all the Our biggest enemies are leisure time. Our biggest enemies are what we do when we have nothing to do. That's our biggest enemy. Why? Because then we're just wasting our time. So it's important to find organizations. Indeed, I just got a call from Highland Park. They're starting an organization for kids, trying to help kids who don't have money get meals during the day and other programs and summer camps, and they need volunteers. So here's an opportunity. Person says, you know, I have time on my hands. I need something to do. I'm looking for something to do. So Highland Park, call up the Highland Park, the City Hall, and say, listen, I want to volunteer for the latest. I think the mayor has a program now. I don't know, I can't remember all the details.
I can give it to you now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So it's important. So this way a person can say, what do you do with the time? Hashem's question is going to be, what do you do with the time? What do you do with your time? So here, I fix times. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, fix times to learn Torah every day. Have fixed times. A person with fixed times already has in their diary times allotted for holy things. Yeah, fixed times. And those times add up. You learn one page of Talmud a day, you finish the whole Talmud in 7 years. So it's just one page a day. It's drip irrigation. The Israelis, you know, they're geniuses. They devised this these pipes with laser holes that give little small drips of water. Instead of those sprinklers, remember the sprinklers? Sprinklers are the most inefficient way to irrigate, because all that water is just wasted. Why? The sun comes and dries it up. So they put pipes underground, and there's little drips of water coming out of the pipes. And no one can see them. And they're very small drips. They're not wasted. They go straight and they fertilize. And that's really the secret of success. Secret of success is the small things that we do daily. Small things we do daily that keep adding up and adding up and adding up. At one time, the advisors would tell you, compounding interest. They'll tell you to compound. Just keep on adding, and it compound, and it compounds by itself. So there's an interesting discussion in the Midrash. What is the most important verse in the whole Torah? What is the most important verse in the Torah? So obviously there's three opinions. One opinion says, Shema Yisrael! Most important pasuk in the Torah, most important verse in the Torah is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one. That's the most important verse. The second opinion says, no, the most important verse is, Ve'afta l'recha kamocha. You love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And the third opinion says, no. That's not one of the reasons. The third opinion is very strange, from left field. It's actually a pasuk in yesterday's parasha. It's a keves echad ta'aseh b'boker, but a keves hashni ta'aseh ben harbaim. Ben harbaim. Take one sheep in the morning and take one sheep in the afternoon. It's a mitzvah of shacharit and mincha. In other words, pray shacharit and pray mincha. The most important pasuk in the Torah. What's it telling you? Two things. It's telling you to repeat over repetition. 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 A person has to be committed. That's number two. A person's got to be committed to doing something and repeating it over and over again. And that's the secret to success. So a person has blocks of time which they commit themselves to. I'm going to learn for an hour a day. I'm going to pray to God an hour a day. Those times just add up. If we're committed, that's secret to success. And I was reading, Rabbi Sachs, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. Fantastic. He sends out an article every week.
Yeah.
Covenant and Conversation. Every week he sends out an article. And this week he talked about great people. Inventors, scientists, writers, poets, musicians. How their day is all like clockwork. Because they get up at a fixed time. They have fixed schedules. They sit down for 3 hours and they write. That's the schedule, part of the schedule. And then they go for a walk and they have lunch and they have it all fixed. And he says, this is Judaism. Judaism tells you every mitzvah has got a time. Have a schedule. If you have a schedule, you'll be successful. If you have no schedule, one day you wake up at 9, one day you wake up at 10, one day you wake up, you don't wake up, you sleep all day. There's no schedule, there's no achievement. The person's not going to achieve that way. A person has to have a schedule to achieve. And so the Torah gives us an outline of our schedule. You wake up in the morning, you pray shacharit. Before you go to sleep, you pray. So you have a schedule. Right? There's a schedule. Right? It's an outline of a schedule. So that is very, very important. So a person has to have a balance in their lives. Every single part of their character trait should be balanced. And that's why some people, there's an imbalance going on. You see some people, they eat too much. It's an imbalance. Some people sleep too much. It's imbalance. Some people do this too much. It's an imbalance. We have to try and rectify all the imbalances in our lives. try and weigh all these balances and try and find the golden mean. And it's important to have peace of mind, and that will give us health and strength. But how does a person get peace of mind? So we're on page 160. To understand what peace of mind and happiness are, let us first examine the opposite. It's much easier to look at the opposite of peace of mind and happiness. So what is the opposite? The opposite is sadness. Why is a person sad? Why do people get sad? And the answer is because one of their basic needs is not fulfilled. A person's sad because they have a need. And they're sad because that need is not fulfilled. They're yearning for something and they can't get it, so they get sad. So it's interesting because right at the beginning of the Torah, we have very unhappy people. God creates. Think about this. God created Adam and Eve, right? And he puts them in paradise. Puts them in this beautiful garden by which we can even get a glimpse of what that was like. We have no idea what it was like. And they had all their basic needs. Everything was there. Everything they needed to live was there. And you know what? Hashem says you can't eat from this fruit. This tree in the middle of the garden, you cannot eat. Not allowed to eat from this tree. So you know what made them unhappy? That tree we can't eat from, we want. But we can't eat it. We're not allowed to eat it. We're unhappy. We're unhappy. We can't eat it. We have every other thing we need, but we can't have this tree, and therefore we are unhappy. Is that wild? It's crazy. Think about it. You have everything you need, just one thing missing. You see people wreck their lives because of one thing. You have everything's right, and one thing is missing, and nothing's right. We find this, we're going to see about the Megillah. We're going to read the Megillah another month. And Haman says the same thing. I have everything. I have money, and I have children, and I have power, and the king loves me, and the queen loves me, and I'm invited to the party, and I'm the highest of all people. But when I see the Jew Mordechai, and he doesn't bow down to me, kol ze enenu shaveli, whatever I have is worth nothing, he says. That's crazy. That's craziness. We have to count our blessings every day. Our cup is half full, more than half full. We're very lucky. But if you look at the opposite, I'm missing this, and I'm missing this, and I'm missing this, will be the most unhappy people. But a person says, but look what I have. And that's how we have to focus. We have to focus our lives on what we have. I have this, and I have this, and I have this. And that's why the first thing we do in the morning is we count our blessings. We actually say brachot. We say the blessings, the morning blessings, which are really counting our blessings. It's really an amazing way to wake up. And the first word on our lips is, Modeh, thank you. First word on our lips is, Modeh Ani. Thank you very much,
Hashem. Thank you. I just got to get my coat. I think it's in here somewhere. Here it is. Okay, sorry to interrupt everybody.
My pleasure.
Thank you again.
Thank you. So, imagine Adam and Eve are unhappy in the Garden of Eden. Cain and Hevel. Cain is depressed. I want to say, think about this. Adam and Eve have two sons. Between them, they're going to split the whole world. So you think, you know, I've got half the world, right? It's great, right? Imagine having half the world. Think about it. So you get the Far East, and I get the West. Fair split? No, it's not good enough. I want the whole thing. I'm going to have to split the world. I don't want to split the world. Cain is the most depressed person around. I don't want to split the world with my brother. Why should I have to split the world with my brother? These are, come on, think about it, crazy. I have half the world. Isn't there something to be happy with? I got half the world. No, it's a cause of unhappiness. Cain was depressed. Hashem accepted his brother's offering. He didn't accept my offering. It's a kind of one-upmanship, spiritual one-upmanship. I'm depressed. My brother is more successful than me. I'm depressed. What happens? The person gets depressed. That's not positive energy. That's negative energy. So instead of motivating themselves to achieve more, they get depressed. And that stops them from achieving. And they become angry. So it kills them. It destroys them. So these are all stories of unhappy people. It's amazing. The Torah is giving us a list of all these unhappy people. Adam was depressed. Before his wife was created, he was lonely and he was sad. He was lonely, yeah.
Didn't the snake tell them, were they happy first? That's my history.
The snake is, well, what is the snake? Let's talk about that. What is the snake?
The
Yetzara. And that's what's going on inside us.
But then
the snake is the Yetzirah. In other words, the Yetzirah is telling us inside, don't be happy, you can't have that. Don't be happy, you don't have everything you need.
But they didn't learn all that yet.
That's exactly what's going on. That's what goes on in our heads. The snake's inside us. What do you think the snake is? The snake's inside us. It's not the snake outside.
Did they know bad and good at that time?
Everything was good at that time. They never had exposure to sin at that time. That was the first thing. There was no sin before that. But what caused the sin was this deep yearning for something they were not allowed to have. But they had everything else. Should be happy, have everything else. God says, don't have this. But I can't. I have to have that burger in McDonald's. I have to. Otherwise, I can't sleep at night. But you can go to, what's it called? Park Place. No, but I have to have the burger at McDonald's. That's the one I want. Imagine, think about it. It's Michigan. It's crazy. So, the Torah is teaching us something about the causes of unhappiness. These, right at the beginning of the Torah is teaching us, don't be like Adam and Chava, who had everything, and they yearned for something more. Don't be like Cain, who had everything, and he wanted more. Don't be like Esav and Yaakov, who had everything, and they wanted more.
So the Torah is teaching us things in a negative fashion, rather than, this is the way you should be.
No, the Torah is teaching,
the way you should
Torah is teaching us from people's experiences. Well, it's very easy to say, do this and don't do that. The Torah does the rest of the time. All you see it says, do this and don't do this. Do this, don't do this. But here in Bereshit, it's much more in your face. It's much more, it tells you through people's experiences. Right? What's more effective? Telling you through people's experiences? Interesting. The whole of Bereshit is about human behavior. Human behavior is not something I can regulate and just say, do this and do this and do this. Well, how do we know? Because V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha includes a whole gamut of things which is not explicit in the Torah. The Torah does not say to visit the sick. The Torah does not say, go and help people. The Torah says, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. One line. It cannot tell you the whole of human behavior. But the whole of Bereshit is telling you human behavior through the perspective of stories, which are better than giving you a whole line. Give you lines and lines of text. Lines of text don't motivate anyone. But stories you can analyze and see where do they go, what do they do right, what do they do wrong, and that's how they should be used. These stories are something, these are beautiful stories.
It's also our own experience is the same type
of exactly. Thing. You're living, we're just living Adam and Eve's. All of us. We're all their children. So we're living their similar lives. I desire something I don't have. Hey, that's not my forefather. It should ring a bell. Say, hey, listen, that's my forefather. I'm getting depressed. Well, that was Cain, also our forefather. Some people say Cain's descendant was Naamah, who married Noah. So therefore, we're all descendants from Cain as well. Some people say, no, it's a different Naamah. And therefore, well, we're not descended from Cain. We're only descended from Seth. They only had three children. So we're all descended from one of the... Well, Hevel never had any children. He died. He was killed. But we're descended either from Cain or Shet. Hopefully we're descended from Shet, not Cain. Cain was an animal. But we do have, according to that opinion, that Naamah was a descendant of Cain. We're all from Cain as well, which explains, you know, science and inventiveness. Because Cain was the one who was inventive. He invented things. He was the farmer. He was the one who did things to the world. Whereas Hevel just let everything go. Whatever pre-existed, he just worked with. I work with sheep. Sheep existed, and I'm working with sheep. Cain says, no, I don't accept that. I'm going to improve things. I'm going to take the ground that God created. I'm going to grow things in the ground. I'm going to affect the ground. So what are the causes of unhappiness? Number one, Adam and Chava, desire for something that is forbidden or out of reach. That is one of the causes of unhappiness. So one of the causes of unhappiness is desire for something you can't get. That's number one. Number two, unsatisfied ego. Cain, he was depressed. Why? His ego got hurt. God accepted my brother's korban. He didn't accept my korban. So a lot of people are hurt because their egos. Like, this person is honored and I'm not honored. I'm going to walk out of here. They don't recognize me, I'm walking out. And this happens in the best shul sometimes. How come this woman gets honored and I'm getting honored and this one and the other? Craziness. Sugar. So unsatisfied ego, that's Cain. That's why it's good to be humble. Right? And it's interesting. Yesterday's parasha, I don't know if you noticed, something very, very important. Anyone notice something very, very important? There's one word in the yesterday's parasha missing, which is Moshe. The word Moshe is missing. Why is Moshe missing from that parasha? There's many reasons, but I think the main reason is because that parasha is all about the clothes of the Kohen. And his brother was the Kohen. He said, I'm going to keep out of this parasha because the focus point of this parasha is my brother. And I want to keep my brother in that parasha and I'm going to hide myself. Let everything be, all the glory go to my brother. My brother deserves all this glory. I'm not going to take any glory away from him. I'm going to disappear. I'm going to keep away from him. It's amazing. idea, the idea of humility of Moshe wanted to give his brother. It says, he argued 7 days with God, I'm not going to go and lead the Jewish people because my brother Aaron is older than me and he should be chosen, not me. Because he cared about, he was willing to self-abnegate, to withdraw. Not like Cain. Number three, losing something precious. Esav was unhappy, he lost his blessing. Yaakov was unhappy, he lost his son. Cause of depression, losing something precious. Person made a lot of money and then lost it. Oh, it's horrible. Horrible feelings. Person gets depressed. A failure to live up to self-expectations. That caused a lot of pain. I failed. A failure. And lack of purpose. Those are the things we learn from these stories. That all this causes unhappiness. These are the causes of unhappiness. So a person has to try and find contentment in all these spheres. A person has to have contentment, that's what rabbis say, Pirkei Avot, who is rich, a person is happy with what they have. We've got to learn to live within our means, and we have to be happy with what we have. And that's one of the keys of happiness. And we have to find equilibrium in all the different parts of us that pull in different directions. Right? We talked about each one of us is like at least four parts, the mental, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional. And each one is pulling a different direction. Right? The spiritual says, I want to pray, I want to learn Torah, I want to do a mitzvah. The physical says, I'm hungry. Pulling in different directions. We're being pulled in different directions all the time. That's constantly. The emotional says, I'm very upset. The mental says, don't lose your cool. Calm down. You'll lose your job if you get upset and work. So we're being pulled in every single direction. And that's why the word for peace in Hebrew is shalom. Why shalom? It comes from the word shalem. A person's got to find equilibrium. Shalem really is completion or perfection, which is equilibrium. A person's got to find equilibrium in all these things which are pulling them in different directions.
But it's also the name of God. So isn't it hinting
that they want it says a seal of God. It's a seal. It's the chotem of God. You're not allowed to say the word shalom in the toilet. You can't say in the bathroom. You see someone, you can't say shalom to them in the toilet. It's God's name. It's Boker Tov. How the rooster getting here? Okay.
That means I got a message.
Someone got a phone. Okay. That's good. Good. It's okay. You woke us up. That's good. It's good to do. I think every class we should do that. Just wake everyone up. Yeah, I used to have one of those when I went back to Israel. Someone had a rooster outside my house, boy. I couldn't sleep at night. 4 o'clock in the morning. They don't let you go. Just keeps on going. Okay. So there's a quadrinity of states. We have the mental state, the emotional state, the spiritual state, the physical state. We need to find the equilibrium to find peace. The completion and perfection is all to do with equilibrium. And that's why all our prayers end off with Oseh Shalom Miramav, Hu Yaseh Shalom. Now what do you mean, Oseh Shalom Miramav? God makes peace in the heavens above? What's going on over there? Is there a fight going on in the worlds above? And the answer, the rabbi says, yes. There's chesed and there's gevurah. There's kindness and then there's judgment. God says, I want to do judgment. The golden calf. Next we're going to read the parasha. God says, I'm going to kill them. That's judgment. Moshe says, no, you can't kill them. I want chesed to... There's a fight going on in the world above. Should we be mean or should we be kind? Should we do judgment now or should we just give them another break? There's a fight going on. Hashem has to make peace and find the equilibrium. That's Teferet. Teferet is the peace between the two extremes. And that's what glory is. Glory is find the peace between the two extremes. And Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu. Aleinu doesn't only mean the world. We always think Hashem should make peace in the world. Hashem should make peace on us. Each one of us should be at peace. We have to find peace in our lives. We have to find peace in our minds. Peace of mind is the hardest thing. All our major prayers, everything ends off Oseh Shalom. The Midrash says, Yaakov Avinu, coming back from his father-in-law, he went through a lot of troubles, working non-stop 21 years with his father-in-law, and being tricked for his wife, and now he comes back, he says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov wanted to rest, Rashi says. It brings this midrash. Yaakov wanted to rest. I want to retire in peace and quiet, tranquility. And that's exactly when everything started going wrong. Just when he wanted to retire in peace and quiet, the whole world turned upside down. His daughter Dina gets raped. His son Yosef gets sold by his brothers. Don't even know. He lost his son. Can you imagine? His beloved son. And Rashi says of the amazing idea. He says, this world is not given to us to relax. This is not the world of relaxation. This is the world of struggle. The next world is the world of relaxation. This world is the world of struggle. So if a person over here says, I'm struggling, I can't. Good. That's the purpose of this world. We have to realize the purpose of this world is to struggle. If we're not struggling physically, if we're not struggling materially, we should be struggling spiritually, trying to grow and grow and grow. That's the struggle over here. The struggle is growth. Keep growing. Keep moving. Keep struggling. Shlomo HaMelech says, if you sowed your grain in the morning, don't stop. Keep on sowing. You don't know which grain is going to grow. Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 students. Can you imagine? I can now hang up my laurels. I can rest. I got 24,000 students. They all die in the plague. 24,000 students died. He said, I'm going to keep on going. Five more students. All the Torah we have today comes from his five students. Imagine if you just stopped teaching. Did I give up? No, keep growing. He lived to age 120. He says he was like Moshe Rabbeinu in a sense. He was strong till the end, 120 years old. His mind is working. The Romans killed him. If they wouldn't have killed him, who knows how long he'd live. The oldest person in the world today, the oldest man alive today, is in Israel. He's a Holocaust survivor. How is that possible? Think of God's blessing. Look at the God's blessing. Before that was in Japan somewhere. 114 years old, Holocaust survivor, went through Gehinnom, he went through hell. He struggled and he's alive. That man deserves a lot of credit. He's alive. I won't give up. So that's amazing how, you know, Hashem is giving us a message. I'll put you through the furnaces and I'm going to bring you out and you're going to live the longest. Look at the bracha that comes out of that. Who would believe that the oldest man alive today is in Israel, a Holocaust survivor? Who would also believe one of the longest life expectancies of men in the world is in Israel? With all the wars, with all the cigarette smoking they do, with all the fighting and the drinking, whatever it is. Longest life expectancy. But Bnei Brak has got its own...
No, it's Bnei Brak.
Okay. It's good. Why? Because the Torah gives a person life expectancy. A person can find peace of mind. That's the key. So we need this shalom. We're praying for shalom, we're also praying for ourselves. We're praying for ourselves to be in equilibrium. We're praying for our families to be equilibrium. When families are torn apart, when husband and wife are fighting, that's not the equilibrium. That's what we're talking about. That's what we need, equilibrium. It's so hard to stay together today. It's very hard to stay together today. So I say shalom b'rumav. Hashem makes peace in the worlds above. Hashem makes peace on us, in us, and around us. Hashem should make peace around us as well. So we yearn for this peace, but the rabbis say this peace is not going to happen in this world. We have to realize that. This peace is out of this world. The peace can only happen out of this world, not inside this world, as we see with Yaakov Avinu. He wanted peace, he got all the troubles. It's one of the most elusive things. The more you look for peace, the less trouble peace there is. The more you look for retirement, the less retirement there is. The person's going to say, you know what? I'm always going to struggle. My whole life is a struggle. Just got to find things to struggle with. I got to find good things that I can struggle with. I want to find good things that I can grow and keep on growing and keep on learning and keep on doing mitzvah and keep on struggling. I'm not going to just sit back and stay home all day. That's not going to make a person happy, by the way. So it's interesting that our Torah is amazing. Why? Because our Torah points out all the big imperfections of all our heroes. No one in the Torah is perfect. And the Torah is telling us is, the common purpose is to grow. The common purpose is to strive for perfection. Perfection is not an ideal, but it doesn't really exist. It's the striving for perfection that we have to try and do. That's our goal. Our goal is to strive for peace. Our goal is to strive for perfection, but we have to know that we're never going to get there. Perfection is not in this world. That's what we have to know. We have to strive for it. But it seems to, the more we strive for it, the more it seems to elude us. The more we strive for peace, the more it seems to elude us. The more we strive for perfection, the more it seems to elude us. So all the great heroes have imperfections. What unites them is a common goal. We're striving for peace. We're striving for perfection. The role of the scholar, we say every morning in our morning prayers, at the end of the prayers.
Hundred percent,
exactly. That's the purpose. That's the purpose is growth. We don't realize that there's a goal. No one reaches the goal. The struggle is the purpose.
So if we realize that, there would be less depression.
The climbing the ladder is the purpose.
But if you realize you're not getting it, why is that good?
You realize what?
Known as the people of the book.
You're striving for something.
One day there will be peace, but the next world, you're striving for that as well. We're striving for the next world as well. There's a lot to strive for.
Now, if you know you can't get it.
You're striving for an ideal. The ideal will never be 100%, but even 90% is better.
Oh, okay.
80% is better, right? You're striving to get to a certain height.
Certain point, but not perfection.
You know, the Rebbe asked once, this is, I don't know which Rebbe it was, it's a story. Rebbe asked once, he says, there's two people on the ladder. One is on the fifth step, and one is on the first step. Who is higher?
One on the first step.
It depends, he says, which way you're going. If you're climbing up, you're higher. If you're going down, you're lower. Even though you're higher right now, but you're going downwards. And the same thing in life. Two people on the ladder. One is up there, one is down here. But this guy's going down, this guy's going up. You see it today with the big companies, right? All of a sudden, you see these big companies, Hewlett Packard, massive company, but it's on the way down. On the other hand, you have a small company started, Facebook just started a few years ago, and it's going up. Which one's higher? And the one that's lower is going to grow much, much bigger than the other one. So, that's the ladder. That was Yaakov's dream. He sees the angels going up and down the ladder. Some are going up, but some are going down. The ones going down may be higher right now, but they're going downwards. So we have to be on the ladder, going up all the time. That struggle, that spiritual struggle. Learning, teaching, doing kamitzvot, doing kind deeds. That's really the ladder we're climbing. Okay, so that's, we talked about, the Torah is talking about people who are not perfect, but there's a common goal of striving for peace, striving for perfection. And the role of the scholar is to increase peace in the world. We have to try and increase peace in the world, lessen the disharmony between people. So if you can make peace between two people, you've made peace in the world, in a sense. It's very important. It's very hard to make peace. If you can make peace between man and wife, you've just made a... That's amazing. That's... So at least make peace in your own house with your own wife, your own husband. That's already a big thing. That's already a big thing. Joseph Albo, the famous medieval Spanish scholar and philosopher, makes an interesting observation. He says, peace is the harmony between two extremes. Peace is not the absence of strife, it's finding harmony between the two sides. So like we said, in our own personalities, right? Our physical is pushing this way, our spiritual is pushing this way. We have to try and find harmony. We have to try and balance the two. And that's harmony and that's peace. Worries do not give a person peace of mind. So one way of one technique to limit the worries is pass the buck. Pass the buck to our parents. Our children can do that. Dad, you worry if I pass my exams or not. I'm not going to worry about it. Dad, you worry about it. Well, I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to make sure you do your work. We can pass the buck by passing it to the government. Okay, I get all the government's problem. That's their problem. They have to support me. Well, ultimately, pass the buck to God. Hashem, here, I'm praying to you. I trusted you. I have this worry. Right, it's good to write down the things a person needs. I say, listen, that's why people do. They pass it down, they write down, and put it in the kotel. Here, God, I'm putting all my worries in the kotel. You take care of all my worries. They don't know that, you know, every few days, the guy comes with his broom, and he sweeps everything up, and he... And they put it in the Geniza. They put all those pieces of paper in the Geniza. They don't throw them away. They put them in the Geniza, yeah. So we have to pass our worries on. And so if God is carrying us, let him carry all our cares. Let him carry all our worries as well. So there's a beautiful story. It concerns a person who went to the rabbi. And the rabbi said, Rabbi, I have so many troubles. I have financial troubles, health troubles, family troubles. What should I do? The rabbi says, go and speak to the janitor. The janitor was destitute and of ill health. His teeth had fallen out at an old age. the man found the janitor. So why did the rabbi send me to the janitor? He has enough problems. So he asked the janitor what he did for his troubles. The janitor, he says, what do you do when you have troubles? And he says, I don't have troubles. So it's all in the mind. Everything is in the mind, how we handle situations. We can look at the worst situations in a positive way, or we can look at the best situations in a very worried way. Right? So a person has lots of money, but now he's worried. I may lose it. Every day he's worried. Horrible. A person has no money, but he says, I think I'll get there. You know, one day I'll get there. So who's happier? It's strange. It has nothing to do with what a person has. Being happy has nothing to do with what a person has. It's all to do with faith in God, and it's all to do with counting our blessings. That's all it is. So, you know, I was driving once in Manhattan. This is a true story. I was driving with this guy. I used to learn with this guy. He's a multimillionaire. He was driving through Manhattan in his Mercedes, his massive Mercedes. And then he's looking at the people around him, you know, they're sitting on the street. And, you know, in the summertime, they're sitting outside having a cup of coffee and chatting. And he says, you know, sometimes he says, I think, who's happier, me or them? So he's always... He thinks he has everything, but he's worried. He's worried about his business, and he's worried about making this business and this deal and that deal. And he's looking around, and he says, "Hey, this guy's relaxed. So relaxed, drinking coffee over there. Who's happier?" So that's really the question. The question is, it's not all about money. It's all about materialism. It's all about being happy. There's a famous story about Henry Ford. This is a true story. Henry Ford was fishing. He reached it. He's retired. He could go fishing and whatever he wanted. And he sees next to him, there's another guy fishing. So he tells the guy who's fishing, he says, you're a young man, he says. You have your whole life ahead of you. Why don't you fish a bit harder? So, and then what? So you catch more fish. And then what? You'll invest in a boat. And then what? You'll make a lot of money. And then what? You'll buy another boat. And then what? I'll buy another boat. And then what? And then you'll have time to fish. He says, I'm already fishing. It's amazing that, you know, two people can be doing the same thing and achieve the same thing really without struggling. It's amazing. It's amazing, the idea that, you know, people struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle, and eventually they find themselves in the same place with the same guy who's there not struggling. Never struggled. And what's the purpose of struggling then? We struggle and we worry, we struggle and we worry. And we see our neighbor over there, he's not worried and he's not struggling. But he achieved the same thing as I did, without struggling, without worrying. Amazing. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says, Hevel Havalim Amar Kohelet. I struggled and I earned and I made and everything. Hevel Havalim, vanity of vanities. What can I do with all this gold? I can't take it with me. What can I do with all the silver? I can't take it with me. What can I do with it? What can I do with all the food? How much food can you eat? How many rooms can you live in? How many wives can you have? It's crazy. Hevel Havalim, Amar Kohelet. Another story deals with a person who had a big problem. He went to the rabbi. He said, Rabbi, he says, pray for me. I'm desperate. I really can't anymore. Please pray for me, Rabbi. The rabbi says, sorry, it will cost you $1,000. He said, what? I don't have $1,000. Please pray for me. And everyone's looking over there, how mean that rabbi is, how he's not praying for the guy. He wants money, $1,000. He says, take with you, Rabbi, I'll pray for myself. That's what I wanted to hear. I'll pray for myself. And you pray for yourself, you're already halfway there. That's it. The person's got to pray for themselves. Because they have to know where the address is. We have to first find out what's the address. Who is the address for all the troubles in the world? We have to learn who is the address. Amazing. Hashem is amazing. You know why Hashem is amazing? Sometimes he helps people without even knowing. What looks bad turns out to be the biggest bracha. I know a guy, it's a true story. He said he always did his own taxes. And he had a son who was, you know, he went to school, but he couldn't find a job. And he got into some kind of tax problem, and he had to go to an accountant. Never went to an accountant in his life. He went to the accountant, and he had to pay the accountant a lot of money to straighten out all his back taxes, whatever it was. And the accountant says, I'm looking for someone to help me in my office. And he had a son who was sitting at home doing nothing. So, okay, but I have a son who can... Okay, bring your son. Maybe, you know, he can fill in my filing cabinets and do this. And the son gets a job through that. So here, bad things, but something good came out of it. It's amazing how Hashem operates in this world. And that's what we have to look for. We have to ask Hashem, listen, Hashem, we are your supporters. We are trying to spread your word in this world. And what does Pirkei Avot said? If you make his will your will, he will do your will like his will. So we're part of his plan. And we're on his side. Hashem says, if you're on my side, I'm on your side. I'll help you as well. Sometimes from left field, Hashem does something from left field. And we don't even know what's going on. And I can see this in my own life. I can see certain crossroads in my life. Hashem, just help me. Just put the rooster on his belly.
No, it's the men's breakfast. Oh, okay.
Yes.
No, I turned off.
What about the idea if you pray for someone else?
Yes, 100%.
First, so you were saying how you need to pray for yourself.
Yes.
But what about that idea?
Both. You need both. Pray for yourself as well. But a person's got to pray for themselves. But our prayers should also be in the plural. All the Shemona says in plural. So we always say, even pray for a sick person, B'toch shar cholei amo Yisrael. I'm praying for wealth. I'm praying for everyone around me as well. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my friends. I'm praying around. Person shouldn't be selfish with their prayers. But pray for yourself as well. Don't forget yourself. Everything. But it should be a totality. It shouldn't be just a private prayer which is just selfish. Hashem doesn't like selfish prayers. Should include other people as well. And pray for them first. So you have a list of sick people. Your person's sick. By the way, it says a person's, when they're sick, their prayers are received first. They have to pray for themselves. Their prayers are more effective on themselves than anyone else's prayers. Hashem wants them to pray. That's why he made them sick. If Hashem gives someone a problem, he wants to hear from them. That's the reason there's a problem. I'm telling you. You can't really compare the prayer of someone who is in trouble to someone who's not in trouble. Someone's not in trouble, I know, okay, I'll pray, but my prayers are not so. Hashem says, you know what, I want to really hear from you, not just lip service. I'll give you a little problem, I'll make you pray. And you know what, the person feels better. The person with problems never feels so connected to God. Look at Tehillim. David HaMelech, if he didn't have problems, we wouldn't have got the whole book of Tehillim. The book of Tehillim is through his problems, he opens up his heart. And he had a big heart. Okay, I think we're going to stop here, and we'll continue next week. We still haven't finished the book, oh boy. But there's no deadline, it's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.